This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in. Another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, the Week 12 breakdown of all of the games. A handful of games between ranked teams, four games in total, and two games between top 11 teams. We're breaking down the card, so that always means joined by the one and only Matt Newmans. And Matt, it felt good to have a great week, but as we know as bettors, that's in the past, and now we're full steam ahead to another busy card for the two of us.
Yeah, we're off a 12-2 week. I brought the record down. I went 6-2, and you went 6-0. So nice job. That was our best week of the season. And I'm not going to say let's do it again, because that's very difficult to repeat that. But hopefully we can put up another winning week here.
Well, we seem like geniuses, but we all know the fine line, as Matt lets us know, the fine line between genius and jerk. Well, we're 2 weeks away, Matt, from Thanksgiving. We're getting to the nitty-gritty of the college football season. So let's get to the biggest games of the week.
The main course.
And that's right. We call it the main course here on the program. And let's go between the hedges, Matt. Athens, Georgia, number 5 Georgia in the latest college football playoff rankings against number 10 Texas. This game, 7:30 Eastern on ABC. And right now, as we look at the betting market, this number sitting at 6, a little bit of Georgia love coming into the market, some 6.5s out there. Total's been on the rise this week too, Matt, at 49.5.
You know, this number 5.5 at Circa last night, and I did bet Georgia here, but not big. I thought the number's a little bit cheap for a team that, until that loss to Alabama in late September, Georgia had a 33-game home win streak. Kirby Smart just doesn't lose between the hedges. And we have not seen Arch Manning win on the road yet against a ranked opponent. You know, the comeback against Mississippi State was one thing. The lucky win in overtime against Kentucky was another thing. But we have not seen Arch really do it against a really good opponent on the road. So let's see it here. I know there's a lot of talk about Manning's improvement, and he has looked better. In the past two games, he passed for an average of 337 yards with 6 touchdowns and 1 pick. The one thing about those yards and his completion percentage, I'll say, if you watch those games, Steve Sarkisian's done a really nice job here with Arch in the offense, because most of the throws are around the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage, a little bit behind it. He got a lot of yards after the catch, so his stats look more impressive than they really are. But Longhorns are off a bye, so that's a positive thing for them. I think the quarterback who's playing better in this matchup is Gunnar Stockton. 69.4% completions this season, 15 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's also got 321 yards rushing and 7 touchdowns. So talking about a guy who's got 22 touchdowns, 2 turnovers. Past 3 games, Bulldogs have averaged 36 points. And in the past game against Mississippi State, 303 rushing yards. Nate Frazier went for 181 on 12 carries. I think the price on Georgia is a little cheap here. Not crazy about it. Probably put Georgia in a couple money line parlays as well. I'm going to force Arch Manning to go on the road and win this game, which I'm skeptical he can do. So a little bit of a Georgia play for me here.
Yeah, you look at some of the road performances this year for Texas. Lose to Ohio State, which there's no problem losing on the road to Ohio State, but the loss at Florida, comeback win over Kentucky in overtime, and then the miracle comeback, as you alluded to, against Mississippi State. How about this number? I saw Todd Furman tweet out, courtesy of CBS. Georgia has spent the most time for a 9-0 or 8-1 team trailing in 20 years since the 05 UCLA team, Matt. They've trailed for over 200 minutes this year, and they gave up that early touchdown to Mississippi State. I was walking out of Circa last Saturday after the tailgate show. Mississippi State goes into the end zone. Live number comes down to 5.5. I was looking at the app. I said, man, I should probably get on Georgia. Well, I should have, because they went out and absolutely destroyed the Mississippi State Bulldogs 41-21. So could be a live angle to look at. that. You mentioned the opportunity for Texas coming off the bye. I thought the Vanderbilt game, albeit for the first, 45 to 50 minutes, was their best game of the season. Brutal beat for anyone who had Texas late in that one at 3.5. But no bet for me. Texas has been a team I feel like I've had a decent read on this year, when to fade them, when to follow them. But I'll stay off of this one. Matt, earlier in the day in the SEC,
I want to mention something else here, too, for just briefly before we move on. Like I said, I got a little play on Georgia. I'm not overconfident in this team, and I don't think this is really a serious title contender unless Gunnar Stockton goes out of his mind and plays awesome throughout the playoffs. But Kirby Smart took over in Georgia in 2016. This is tied for his second worst defense in yards per play. And this trend of falling behind early in games is troubling, too. And that's why I'm not that overconfident in Georgia.
Yeah. So massive playoff implications in this one. Texas with two losses, currently number 10 in the college football playoff rankings. They still have Texas A&M on the schedule. So in theory, they could lose this game, win that one, and maybe still be in the conversation. This is an elimination game, Matt, for Oklahoma. If they lose this game to Alabama on Saturday, they're done. I don't see a way they get back in with their remaining schedule of Missouri and LSU. So this is a enormous game for Oklahoma. Alabama, very tested this year. If you look at Jeff Sager and the numbers, they are the only team in the country, Matt, with 5 wins over top 50 teams in his top 30. So you've got Alabama taking on Oklahoma, and this has been a number that's gone in on the underdog a little bit here, Matt. You know, we had Brad Powers on VSiN Primetime earlier this week. The number had gone off of 7 on Tuesday. He still liked Oklahoma. Total 46 in this one. We'll call it 6 in favor of the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one where the home favorite looks cheap in Tuscaloosa, but I don't think I'm going to bite on this one. Alabama offense could be turned into a one-dimensional operation. I know when Jam Miller came back, there was a lot of optimism to have, all right, Jam's back, Tide's going to be able to move the ball on the ground. Tim, he's averaged 3.6 yards per carry, and this Tide offense has averaged 3.5 a carry. They just can't move the ball. Against Brent Venables, that's dangerous because Venables is one, well, he's not a great head coach, but he's really good at scheming defenses. And remember what he did last year to Alabama's offense in Norman. And that Jalen Milroe-led offense was lost in that game. This Alabama offense inability to run the ball is going to be a problem. That's going to put a lot of pressure on Ty Simpson. He's been great, 67% completions, 21 touchdowns, 1 pick. But I think this Oklahoma defense is going to be a problem. And that's why I wouldn't be surprised if this is a tight game that goes down to the wire. And, Tim, when you really look at Alabama and some of these tight games, I thought that the Vandy game was a lot closer than 30-14. A couple of red zone turnovers in that one. Missouri 27-24 on the road. South Carolina 29-22. Tied a bit lucky against South Carolina too. How about the LSU game last week? You talk about ugly. That LSU team doesn't have much going for it right now, and the Tide put up 20 points. So as the week's gone on here, I've started to warm up to the Oklahoma side getting the points a little bit. I think Alabama is going to win this game by a field goal if I had to call it right now.
Yeah, just left off my card was Oklahoma. We had Wes Reynolds on the podcast yesterday. He liked Oklahoma here in this spot as well. So, look, you've had some sharp guys come in on it. I mentioned Brad Powers. He was on our show, and he was talking about how you look at this Alabama team, maybe a bit fortunate. You look at some of the Bill Conley numbers. He projects via his postgame win expectancy, this team more around 6 wins as opposed to 8. So you look at some of, the advanced numbers on this Alabama team. And I think the point you made, Matt, is really fair about Alabama's run offense. How about these numbers? 120th in the nation in rushing offense, 120th in yards per carry. And when you look at opponent adjusted numbers that Brett Ciancia puts out each week in his Pick 6 previews, they're 47th out of 68 Power 4 teams in rushing offense per play, Matt. So they are a bit one-dimensional. That's why I would kind of lean towards Oklahoma here. Also, the desperation factor. Alabama's in decent shape to make the playoff. Oklahoma has to win this game. And if they lose, they're done, as they've already got two losses to their ledger. So I think this is going to be a fascinating game to watch, 3:30 Eastern on ABC. A lean towards Oklahoma for both of us, but not an official play by either one of us. We both have plays on this next game, also at 3:30. It's going to be on the Big Ten Network, not CBS, the Big Ten Network. Got number 21, Iowa, against number 17, USC, Matt. And Iowa just played an absolute war last week against Oregon. USC at home has been much more fruitful than on the road. They're 4-1 this year at home as opposed to on the road, where they have struggled, especially against the spread. Right now, you can get a 7 if you like Iowa. 6.5's out there if you like the Trojans. What do you make of this spot in the Coliseum on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I did take 7 with Iowa here. This is a play for me. I was on Iowa last week, too. And Hawkeyes probably should have won that game. They lost 18-16 to Oregon. Mark Gronowski with a near-record-setting performance for an Iowa passer with 138 yards through the air, Tim. Is that an Iowa record?
I think it's close to it.
Iowa's had some pretty good quarterbacks in the past. Brad Banks, Drew Tate. There have been some quarterbacks in the past at Iowa I did like. But you know what? When you looked at total yards in that game, Oregon had the edge, 373 to 239. But that was kind of what we anticipated. It was an old school Big Ten game, right? The weather was not ideal. It was kind of like a mud wrestling match, and it was going to be won by a field goal late. That's what we talked about last week, and the Ducks won it with a field goal late, 18-16. So they got there. Hey, I think it's always tough laying points against Iowa because they're so physical at the line of scrimmage on both sides. They're going to run the ball at you. It's going to be ugly. They're not going to make many mistakes. And USC is a finesse team. Iowa is a physical team. And I think this is going to be a problematic matchup here for USC. I do think the Trojans being at home is a huge, huge advantage in this type of game. When you're talking about Mekhi Lemon and some of the speed that they've got out there at the receiver position, and they're going to have some favorable matchups against the Iowa secondary. That said, I like taking the points here in another game I think that's going to go to the wire. If this game were in Iowa City, Tim, what do you think the line would be? And I would love the Hawkeyes. You know, what would the number be if this game were in Iowa City? USC minus 1.5? What would it be?
Yeah, somewhere in that short number, and I agree. I think you've seen the struggles for USC traveling this year. They do play Oregon next week, so I don't think this is a look ahead by any stretch of the imagination. USC has to win out to make it to the college football playoff. But
that's
you mentioned it.
Yeah.
4-1 ATS. And yeah, I don't think it'll happen either, even though I'm not in love with this Oregon team, but we'll see how USC plays. They don't play very well on the road. Here's the big interesting thing, Matt, about this game. And, you know, rain doesn't normally affect the line. It's more so wind, right?
Yes.
But the Coliseum is a grass field. And I texted with my buddy Justin Bruce, who's a meteorologist for the local ABC station here in Vegas. And he said this was Thursday morning. The latest models show there may be some breaks Saturday afternoon in LA, but they're expecting 1 to 2 inches of rain from Friday through Saturday night, Matt. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, I put USC in a money line parlay. It will be an official play for me, but the weather makes me very nervous because you mentioned those athletes, Mekhi Lemon, Jacoby Lane, King Miller. The athleticism on the offense for USC gives them a massive boost, but if it's a tricky track, if they're slipping and sliding all over the place, as we saw last week in Iowa City, that's a massive advantage for Iowa. Iowa wants to play this game like we saw last week against Oregon. So that gives me concern and kind of makes me like your side a little bit more. But I do think USC wins this game. I think the big matchup here, Matt, number one offense in the country, USC, based off of the numbers, versus a top 10 defense in Iowa. I'll give the edge to USC here. And by the way, I did pair them, USC, with Washington State on a money line parlay. Very bizarre game. I'll just briefly hit on it. Washington State playing Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech, by the way, lost their starting quarterback last week to an ACL tear. Washington State 4-5 coming off a bye. This is a late night game out in Pullman on CW, by the way. And they need to win two of their last three to get to a bowl game, Matt. So I think you get a pretty good effort from Coach Rogers' squad and Louisiana Tech with a backup quarterback. I would think about laying the number. It's now up to 8, 8.5 on a money line parlay. I laid $1.20. So USC to Washington State, but the weather certainly concerns me, Matt, with USC. And I think an edge to your side in Iowa. One more game to hit on here in the main course, Matt. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Noon Eastern, College Game Day will be there. This will be on ABC. We've got number 9 Notre Dame against number 22 Pitt. And right now, as you look at the betting market, this thing is ballooned out to 12 or 12 and a half with a total of 53.5, 54. Could be some rain, but not anything significant here. And I know we've talked about it, Matt, earlier this week, the Nard dope, Pat Narduzzi, saying, oh, we could lose 100-0. What does it matter for us, as Pittsburgh has still on their schedule some important ACC games? What do you make of this spot here for the Irish going on the road to Pittsburgh?
Well, Tim, right before we started the podcast today, I just read a story about Marcus Freeman and how he's got 1 foot out the door to coach the New York Giants. So I wonder how that impacts your handicapping of this game. Does that affect it at all? I don't like
what you're doing, and I push back and I reject your bait. I will not take the bait.
You know, there have been some other coaches around college football have been kind of baiting Marcus Freeman, talking about Irish and their independent schedule, blah, blah, blah. You and I went through this on the VSIN primetime show a couple nights ago about how ESPN's FPI shows Notre Dame's strength of schedule is better than Texas Tech's and several of these other teams up there. This is when we talk about style points, too. And I'm not saying that Pitt's going to be any sort of a pushover here, but if Marcus Freeman gets the chance, if you get an opponent down, you're going to step on the throat and you're going to rub it in. And I think Freeman would do that here. It's Notre Dame or pass. So far, it's a pass for me, but I would lay the 11. If it's still out there, I think most spots have gone to 11.5. I did see on the VSIM Pro page that Wes Reynolds laid the 11. Wes is all over that stuff when he starts to see the market move. And let's see, 12.5 now at Circa, 12 at a bunch of spots. Yeah, you can't even find 11.5 now. So I'll probably find a way to get on the Irish here, but I guess you got to lay 12 if you do it, or put the Irish on some sort of money line parlay with something else. Maybe your Washington State play late Saturday night. But
maybe.
Yeah, this is a spot where I'm not going to play with fire and play with Marcus Freeman and the Irish, because they need to win. They know it. They're playing with urgency. And if they get the chance to get an opponent down, they're going to kick them while they're down.
Yeah, Pitt still has Georgia Tech next week, Miami in the finale. So in theory, Pitt does control their own destiny to the playoff. And this game, as Narduzzi mentioned, doesn't really matter. Well, if it doesn't matter, why is Aaron Donald coming back to get his number retired for this game? Why is College Game Day coming to Pittsburgh for the first time in 20 years? By the way, the last time they were there, it was for a Notre Dame-Pitt game. But I'll say this positively about Pitt, because it's hard for me to say positive things about Narduzzi. Mason Heinschel is a solid upgrade at quarterback, right? This was a 2-2 football team. They bench Eli Holstein. They go to Mason Heinschel, and he's been great. They're 5-0 straight up, 5-0 ATS. Now, it is worth noting the defenses that they faced: Boston College, Florida State, Syracuse, NC State, Stanford. Notre Dame is much better than those teams defensively, and there's a lot of questions about Pitt and their health, Matt. You know, Desmond Reed didn't play against Stanford. I would expect him to play. He had 200 total yards against Florida State. They've got some injuries at the linebacker position, certainly to keep an eye on there. So, yeah, I think Notre Dame, from everything that I've heard, is going to be buttoned up for this game. Essentially, it's their Super Bowl. Look, everybody out there, and whether they're right or wrong, is talking about how Miami should be ahead of Notre Dame. They're hearing that, and they're going to have to make a statement here, because their next two games, Matt, are Syracuse, where they're a 34.5-point favorite right now in the look-ahead line, and then Stanford. So it's really Notre Dame's closing argument to their season. on Saturday. So I agree. I think they try to make a statement. The one thing I would note about this game from a matchup is the Pitt run defense versus Notre Dame. Pitt's run defense is third in the country in yards per game allowed and first in the country in yards per carry. So does Pitt load the box like Boston College did, like Navy tried to do? And is Notre Dame going to have to take advantage of that with their wide receivers? So that's something certainly to watch. Noon Eastern on ABC. If you're looking for some alt lines out there, I think Notre Dame minus 20 and a half is around 2-1 at DraftKings. So if you think they do put it on the Pitt Panthers, that could be an angle to look at. Matt, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got to get into some spicy matchups, some situational spots. We'll do that. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, breaking down the Week 12 card. Just a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Let's keep pumping up those numbers. The YouTube numbers have been awesome these past couple of weeks. The subscribers continue to rise as well. So check us out, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. Matt, I know you were disappointed earlier this week. The McRib did not come out in Vegas on time, but maybe you had to settle for a spicy chicken sandwich. So let's get to those types of matchups here this weekend.
Spicy matchups.
And Matt, we look at situational angles a lot on this podcast. And one of the more intriguing ones this weekend is a common play between the two of us, which we'll get to here in just a moment regarding Michigan State. But I want to start with Michigan. Wrigley Field, number 18, Michigan, taking on the Purple Cats of Northwestern. And Northwestern, historically, Matt, has been a team that we like to back as a big underdog. And look, Michigan, 7-2. If they run the table, which would include a win over Ohio State, they're going to get into the playoffs. So that's worth noting. But they're a 13-point favorite at Circa at Wrigley Field on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Circa's a sharp book and a little bit high in this game, which surprises me because I like the Purple Cats. I think they got a shot to win this game straight up. Look, Northwestern was out of its element a little bit last week in L.A. at the Coliseum. The USC receivers too fast, spread that offense out. USC was tough to stop. And Northwestern much more in its element here against a Michigan offense that does not produce many explosive plays. Bryce Underwood, 61% completions, only 7 touchdown passes at this point in the season. That's a $10 million quarterback you're talking about right there. He's got 7 TD passes. Justice Haynes, top running back for the Wolverines. He's out. He had foot surgery. He's hoping to get back for the Ohio State game. Haynes had 857 yards, 10 touchdowns, 7.1 yards per carry. The good news for Michigan is that Jordan Marshall, the backup running back, is talented. He's pretty good. He can carry the load, but Haynes is going to be missed. And Michigan is off a bye. Prior to the bye, very uninspiring 5-point win against Purdue in Ann Arbor. There are a lot of things about this Michigan team I'm not real excited about. And I think the Purple Cats in the home dog role are typically when I looked at them. I know last week at L.A., the game got away. I think this is going to be a tight game to the finish here, and I give Northwestern a shot to win it. I'm not really sure why the number is as high as it is at Circa, but I think Northwestern's being a little bit underestimated here. Give me the Purple Cats plus 13 and a little bit on the money line at Wrigley Field.
Big noon kickoff. Catch that game on Fox. Matt, you know, sometimes it's important to know when you have a problem. And my name is Tim Murray, and I have an Arkansas problem. I can't quit the Arkansas Razorbacks. For some reason, I keep going back to the well. They burned me 2 weeks ago against Mississippi State, blowing a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. But they're a 6-point dog, Matt, at LSU, and they're coming off a bye. Now, you could make an argument, having an interim coach in Bobby Petrino, do they check out during the bye week? Certainly possible. They have not looked like they've quit yet even though they're 0-5 in the SEC. They have lost seven straight games and had their head coach Sam Pittman fired in the middle of this. But here's the thing about Arkansas, Matt. They lost by 6 to Ole Miss, lost by 3 to Tennessee, 3 to A&M, 9 to Auburn, and then blew that lead against Mississippi State. They're catching 6 here. They've got a dynamic offense. Their defense is terrible. I just don't know where LSU's mind's at, right? Coming off of that big loss to Alabama, it's going to be an 11:45 a.m. local start time. It sounds like Michael Van Buren is going to be the starter. Nussmeier's a little bit banged up. All this weird nonsense about the Brian Kelly buyout, does that seep in at all? I know Frank Wilson is certainly a guy that would love to keep the job, so maybe they'll play for him, but I think his Arkansas team's going to be able to score, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the 6 with Woo Pig Suey down there, 12:45 Eastern time on SEC Network. I'm sure I'll be sending you angry texts as Arkansas loses excruciatingly by 7 late in that one. But I'm going to take Woo Pig plus the 6 in that spot against LSU. Matt, I want to go to CBS 3:30. Great situational spot. Hopefully it comes home for us. Michigan State off of a bye hosting Penn State. You talk about a letdown. Penn State, Matt, they gave it everything they had. Great call by you last week taking the points. The Nittany Lions are laying 7.5 on the road in East Lansing on Saturday.
Yeah, it was interesting last week when I was hosting the Friday night show and I saw a handicapper come in on Indiana laying the points, and I don't like to dump on anybody's picks, but I just thought that it was kind of crazy that Indiana was laying that number. It was 15.5 at some points at some books last week. That was Penn State's Super Bowl. As far as, at this point in the season, when you look at the remaining schedule, that was it. You got the number two team in the country coming in, and that's your chance to salvage your season, upset Indiana, and maybe get to a bowl game at that point. The best case scenario right now for the Nittany Lions is to get to 6-6 and play in a minor bowl. Do you think the players care much about that? And in the fashion they lost that game, in the dramatic way they lost that game, I think it's going to be a gut punch. It's going to be deflating for the Nittany Lions. Now you're going on the road, and you're going to lay 7.5 to Michigan State. And this is basically all Michigan State's got left to play for, because this is a team that's lost 6 in a row. You got a chance to upset Penn State. You're not going to go to a bowl. This is like your last high-profile game. They play for some sort of goofy rivalry trophy here. I'm not sure what it is. Is this the land-grant game or something like that? I'm not sure. Nobody really cares about that. But Spartans are off a bye. Look, the scheduling situation is very good. Spartans off a bye after that overtime loss in Minnesota. The key for me is Jonathan Smith made the quarterback change. He went to Alessio Milahovic. He threw for 311 yards, season high 467 yards of offense for Michigan State in that game. I took the Spartans plus 7.5, one of my first bets this week. I know you like it too. Well, one thing bothers me about this. I've probably heard 15 people who like Michigan State and nobody who likes Penn State. So that's a bit of a concern. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. And, seeing those hooks last as long as they did also bothered me. But as I watched Penn State play so hard against Indiana last Saturday and lose that game the way that they did, I immediately looked at the schedule and said, who do they play next? And sure enough, it was Michigan State, as you mentioned, off the bye. So look, I'll bet this situational spot every single time. If it doesn't come home, it's a risk I'm willing to take. But I think the point that you made about the quarterback change is big. They didn't get the win against Minnesota, Matt, but they went for over 460 yards against the Golden Gophers prior to the bye week, lost that game in overtime, but it certainly seemed to give that team a punch. And I'm a fan of Jonathan Smith. I don't know what the hell has happened since he got to Michigan State. It's been a nightmare. He very well could be fired, but I'm with you. Michigan State, first bet that I made this week. I took 8.5, still 7.5's out there. Official play for me. And yes, Matt, it is the Land Grant Trophy that was established in 1993. So there you go.
All right.
the first land-grant institutions, apparently, Michigan State and Penn State, whatever the hell that means. Matt, we got some late-night games on the card. You and I always love to bet the late-night games. You're going to be at one of them, and we'll talk about those games and what bets we have in Provo and San Diego after a quick break on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And late last Saturday, both Matt and I were sitting very happy. Matt was in the rain. I was sitting at home, but I was donning my Rainbow Authentics gear as the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors took care of business 38-6 over San Diego State. And just a reminder, our friends at Rainbow Authentics, the official source of game-used apparel, autographs, and trading cards for your favorite Hawaii student-athlete. Every item tells a story, whether it's a game-worn jersey, a signed ball, or unique collectibles. You'll be capturing the moment and owning a piece of Hawaii sports history. Beyond memorabilia, Rainbow Authentics is committed to supporting the community. Their mission is rooted in empowering student-athletes and coaches, strengthening local programs, and giving back to Hawaii with pride. So check out all their gear, rainbowauthentics.com. And we're hoping, fingers crossed, maybe we'll have some Rainbow Authentics gear to give away to some of you guys at in the near future. So mahalo to our friends Rainbow Authentics. No game this week, Matt, for Hawaii. They will be in Vegas next week to take on UNLV. A Friday night game should be a fun one to witness in person. But the team that they played last week and you saw up close and personal was San Diego State. 10:30 Eastern, CBS Sports Network. Maybe some rain in the forecast. Boise State off of a bye, taking on the Aztecs, and this is the lowest total of the week. It's the last game on the board, 41.5 with a spread of 3 in favor of the Aztecs against Boise.
Yeah, I don't like laying a 3 with a low variance team in San Diego State that's probably not going to put many points on the board here. So I think the better bet's under the total of 41.5. But I am going to play San Diego State. There's a 2.5 out there if you lay the juice. I'm going to lay the money line here on the Aztecs. And also under the total of 41.5. So two plays on this game. Maddox Mattson, quarterback for the Broncos, ruled out. Tim, we've seen how lame that offense can look without Mattson at quarterback. So I don't like a lot about this Boise team. And typically you want to bet good teams for really bad, embarrassing losses. And that's what the Aztecs took, fortunately, in Honolulu last week as I sat there in the rain for 5 hours and could not have been happier. Hey, look, the San Diego State off defense was number 2 in the nation in scoring, allowing 10 points per game. And the Aztecs allowed 14 points in the first 10 minutes of the game against Hawaii. Mike Alajado lit up that secondary. And look, we talked about this last week. San Diego State had faced some of the worst teams and worst quarterbacks in the Mountain West going into that Hawaii game. Alejado's got an outstanding set of receivers. He's got some big play speed receivers. They spread out that San Diego State defense and lit it up. Boise State can't really do that, Tim. So I think on a night where it could be rainy, field could be soggy, Lucky Sutton, the San Diego State running back, is going to be the key for the Aztecs offense. And hopefully we get some luck here with the Aztecs pulling out the win. But I think it's going to be an ugly game. It's going to be a 2017 or, 17-13 type of game, or, maybe a 17-10 type of game. I don't see this Boise offense getting a lot done here. So I'm going to go with the Aztecs. Let's call it a money line play and under the total of 41.5.
What about 6-3, Matt? We could do a 6-3 game.
Well, I'm going to be at the game, and that would be really boring, but I'd prefer it to be, how about 10-3? Can we go with 10-3, something like that, Tim, or 10-6? Yeah.
That works for me because I'm on the under as well, 41.5. I do have a small play on San Diego State money line, but my official play will be the under here in this one. You hit on a lot of points I was going to mention. How about Boise State? I was reading through their game notes, Matt, and I know this probably doesn't mean anything necessarily to this particular game, but Boise State historically has been fantastic off a bye. They are 17-1 straight up off of a bye since joining the Mountain West. The only loss came in 2015. Against New Mexico. So, you know, we'll see what Spencer Danielson and that coaching staff put together for Max Cutforth, the former walk-on quarterback who's stepping in for Maddox Madsen. Both these teams, one loss in conference play. The winner puts themselves into the driver's seat to make the Mountain West Championship. I think the college football playoff is very out of the picture for both of these teams now, Matt, but I think the defenses will rue the day in this one, and two really good, you know, set of running backs. You got Sire Gaines on the other side for Boise State. You mentioned Lucky Sutton. So I think this is going to be a grinded out type of game. Boise State's going to want to play field position. Wouldn't be surprised if San Diego State is pretty pissed off after getting exposed in the rain last week through the air by our guy, Micah Alejado. So under 41.5, lean towards San Diego State, but the official play is the under for me in this one. And what's better than sweating out and under at midnight Eastern on a Saturday night? But that's what we're going to be doing in this one. Matt, also in that time frame, as you'll be sitting in San Diego watching this game, we will have TCU taking on BYU. And this has been a number that has kind of come in as the week has gone on. TCU has taken some love. How about this? Our colleague, Stormy Bonantoni, she'll be on the sidelines for ESPN. And on her program, Money Moves with JBT, they put together a little statistical note. BYU with Stormy on the sideline, Matt, 12-0 straight up, 9-3 against the spread. So Stormy brings the luck to BYU, and this number has come all the way down to 3.5. This was 6 earlier this week. So clearly, TCU seems to be the sharp side in this one. I had Texas Tech last week. I think BYU is a bit fraudulent, but I don't know if I trust Josh Hoover on the road in a raucous environment against the Cougs.
Yeah, this price is getting cheap on BYU. I think I'm going to play the Cougars on the money line in this game Saturday night in Provo. I'm a bit surprised. Hey, look, we've talked about BYU being a bit phony, and luck run out. The luck did run out against Texas Tech last week, but still, that's a strong home field. And BYU's rushing attack and Bear Bachmeyer, I think, is going to be enough here to win this game. And speaking of Stormy, I've heard this. I can't confirm it, but I've heard that Stormy is thrilled about the McRib coming back this week, and she plans to eat 5 or 6 on the first day.
She and you are McRib enthusiasts, apparently. That's the word on the street. Matt, let's go back in time. Let's go noon on Big Ten Network. We'll run through a bunch of these games quickly. Wisconsin at Indiana. You were on Wisconsin last week. You were on Penn State last week. And Indiana laying a whopping 30 against the Wisconsin Badgers, now numbered down to 29.5. So maybe a little bit coming in on the Badgers here. Do we expect the bully, Kirk Cignetti, after that magical win to return to the bully role against Wisconsin?
I think so. This is going to be the Hoosiers' final home game. So it's going to be one of those spots where they kind of want to go out in style. And I also think they're trying to get Fernando Mendoza the Heisman. I know there are guys like you and Brad Powers who are driving the Buckeyes bandwagon for Julian Sand and the Heisman. But I think Mendoza's got two opportunities here against Wisconsin and against Purdue at the end of the season to run up some big numbers and maybe, you know, edge Sand in that Heisman. I think Ty Simpson's in there too. How about Joe Fagnano at UConn? Can you get some votes, Tim? Can we get Fagnano to New York City? You guys got 25 touchdowns, no picks. My money's on Mendoza plus 250, and I think against Whiskey and against Purdue in these final two games, he's got a chance to put up some big numbers. I'm not gonna mess around here with the point spread or anything. I think it's a bit difficult game to handicap. I did like the Badgers in that home dog role a week ago against a Washington team that has not been very impressive on the road, and the Huskies were flat in that game in Madison, but. I'm not going to mess with Whiskey 2 weeks in a row.
All I need is Indiana to win this game, Matt. It'll clinch Wisconsin's under, so I'll sit back and enjoy Kirk Cignetti and Fernando Mendoza. Hey, who needs me and Brad Powers to defend Julian Sayin when you've got Gus Johnson saying, "Give him the trophy now!" after his touchdown pass to Omar Cooper, Matt. So, Fernando Mendoza's got plenty of momentum going with Gus Johnson giving him all that love. All right, Matt, let's take one more quick break. When we come back, we'll run through as many games as we possibly can and also give you a best bet recap. A couple more best bets still on the card for me, too. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Another big spread, Matt. Noon window, ESPN. Gig'em, Texas A&M, number 3. Lane Kiffin not happy that they're 3. He thinks they should be number 1. Well, we're in that point of the year where everyone's talking about the rankings and how dissatisfied they are. But South Carolina heads to College Station here, Matt. I looked at South Carolina a little bit, but ultimately no play for me in this one. South Carolina, a 18.5 to 20, depending on where you look, point underdog against Texas A&M. Marcel Reed also maybe in the fringe Heisman conversation as well. No play for me as the disappointing season for South Carolina continues.
Yeah, I don't think Reed can win the Heisman. You can put him in the discussion. But Aggies had 3 road games in a row in SEC play and won all 3. Pretty impressive performance. And they took care of Missouri. That was one of my losses last week. I had the Tigers as home dogs, and Aggies really didn't have to sweat that one out. Took care of business. So I would play the dog, if anything, here, but I just don't see a whole lot of appealing qualities to South Carolina at this point. This be a pass.
All right, let's get to a couple games with service academies, Matt, and we'll start in stores. Well, technically East Hartford, Connecticut, because that's where the rent is. You and I both at UConn last week. It was a terrible spot for the Blue Devils. And here's the thing, Matt, you mentioned Joey Fagnano for Heisman, but this week I've heard this UConn offense talked about quite a bit. It's funny how this plays out. You and I loved UConn last week. There were other number of handicappers who were on the Huskies. I think the madman Chris Massaro was also on UConn in that spot. But they win that game against Duke, and now everyone wants to talk about this UConn team. Well, here's the issue about UConn, Matt. They've had some serious letdowns so far this year after wins. They lost in overtime to Syracuse, a game they should have won, and then the following week, they went and lost to Delaware as a 8-point favorite. They beat Boston College, Matt. That's a big win for UConn there in New England to beat an ACC team. Then they followed up as a 10-point road favorite and lost to Rice. So they beat Duke in front of 38,000 people, and now they have to play Air Force. Air Force, 3-6, still clinging to the hope of bowl eligibility. They can't win the CIC trophy. They're terrible defensively. UConn's going to be able to move the ball. That's why the total 63.5. But Matt, one of my first bets this week was Air Force plus 7.5. It's down to 6.5 in most shops. I still see a 7 at South Point. Maybe it comes back, but look, this Air Force offense is pretty legit. Liam Zarka, the quarterback, runs for over 900 yards. I'm going to take Air Force in what should be a shootout here. I like them catching the points, and probably a little bit of a letdown for UConn after a big win over Duke and people singing their praises all week long after they improved to 7-3.
Yeah, Liam Zarka lit it up through the air last week, passed for 41 yards against San Jose State. It's not a great spot, really, for the Falcons going from San Jose to the East Coast. Last week, actually, San Jose put up 435 yards of offense. Air Force had 302 in that game. Look, I know a couple other handicappers who like the Falcons here, too. I'm not going to play this game, though.
Yeah, you mentioned last week their postgame win expectancy per SP Plus was 2.2%. So very, very fortunate to get that win. How about this? UConn allowing 174 yards per game on the ground. Air Force is rushing for 269 per game. And then on the flip side, UConn throwing for 300 yards per game. Air Force allowing 288. So could be a lot of points. That's why the total is as high as it is, Matt. Another game with a service academy. We saw a surprising scratch right before Notre Dame Navy. Blake Horvath, the stud quarterback for the Mids, ruled out last Saturday, and Navy had no shot in that game, losing 49-10. South Florida last Thursday night, an impressive win over UTSA as a double-digit favorite. And now, Matt, South Florida, the first team ranked from the G5 in the college football playoff rankings this year. They're the favorite to go to the college football playoff from the G5. I think they're the best team. It feels like this number's a bit inflated, but I'm not going to get there. Just worried about the athletes for South Florida. I think Navy could ugly it up, especially if Horvath is back. But this one almost made my card, ended up passing. But it is worth noting, Navy was a 6.5-point dog at North Texas, and South Florida was a 2-point dog at North Texas. And now South Florida's laying 10.5 on the road in Annapolis. Matt, a couple of spots I want to hit on here real quickly.
Braxton Woodson was a quarterback who played against Notre Dame last week. Can't really throw the ball. I think they were 3-for-8, 22 yards. As a team, 3-for-10, 22 yards. Woodson was okay on the ground. What's the status of Blake Horvath in this game? Is he in this week?
Well, I mean, you don't really get much out of the service academies. No one knew that Horvath was going to be out. I started to hear some rumors on Saturday afternoon that he could be out. And then, boom, you get the tweet from Pete Thamel about an hour before the game. I would assume he's back. But I think another reason why I'm not playing this, Matt, if Horvath doesn't play, I don't think they have much of a shot in this game against South Florida. So if Horvath does play, I think 10.5 could be a look there for the Navy midshipmen. I want to hit a couple ACC games, but before we do that, Matt, 3:30 on Fox, Texas Tech. Is this the peak of the market? You had College Game Day. You showed out. Your defense is legit. 29-7 win over BYU. Is this a letdown spot here for Texas Tech as a 24-point home favorite against Central Florida?
It's amazing when you look back on it how the Red Raiders were not better when Patrick Mahomes was a quarterback there. You know, a lot of people probably didn't even know Mahomes was a quarterback at Texas Tech until he went in the first round of the draft because that Cliff Kingsbury team was not that good. Yeah, I don't really know. I think you and a lot of guys were on the right track last week when you laid the points against BYU. And speaking of Chris Massaro, I believe that was his best bet in the Circa Friday Football Invitational was Tech Lane 10 to BYU last week, and it got there. So last week was probably the better spot to be on the Red Raiders. There's been a bunch of good spots to be on the Red Raiders. I'm not going to play this game.
You know, Matt, I want to hit on Miami real quickly. I know our buddy, the Bear, Chris Felica, who is currently in second place, Jason Jarvis, red hot right now in the Circa Friday Football Invitational. But I believe that Mr. Felica is looking into some futures for his beloved Hurricanes to make the college football playoff. They are currently 15th, and they're leading to a lot of discussions about their head-to-head against Notre Dame. They're a 15.5-point favorite against NC State. NC State's kind of been that giant killer so far this year. They lost to Pitt, and they lost to Notre Dame convincingly, but NC State has that win over Georgia Tech. They beat Virginia earlier this year, so we'll see how this game plays out. Mario Cristobal and company, did they wake up? They're 7-2. They're up to 15th in the rankings, Matt. Could you be talked into a 5-1 ticket or so on Miami to make the college football playoff?
Yeah, I could. I think Miami's got a decent shot to make the playoffs. So I mentioned this early in the season. I would not bet any futures on Miami to win the national championship. I know early in the season when the Hurricanes blew out South Florida, a lot of people were excited. This is the best team in college football. I said, look, with Mario Cristobal and that quarterback, coach quarterback combination, those guys are going to find a way to screw it up. I would not bet a dollar on Miami to win the whole thing. I know a lot of people have money on Miami to win the whole thing. At this point, I think actually it's a decent bet of 5-1 on the Hurricanes to make the playoffs. There is going to be a strong argument about that win against Notre Dame early in the season. Now, look, Tim, the chaos is not finished yet. We got a bunch of big games yet to play here in the month of November. So I think the Hurricanes do have a decent shot here.
Yeah, when you look at the remaining schedule, Matt, they've got NC State this week. They have Virginia Tech. They've got Pitt. It's going to be very challenging for them to make the college football playoff, or excuse me, make the ACC championship. I discussed that. I did my best to try to figure it out. They're about like a 5% chance to make the ACC championship, but I'd be curious to hear what the Bear talked about their path. But Matt, they've got some common opponents with Notre Dame left on their schedule. Could they be, you know, showing out? NC State, Notre Dame beat them by 29. They play Pitt to wrap up the regular season. Texas and Oklahoma are ahead of Miami. Both those teams are underdogs this week. BYU has to play Cincinnati next week. Utah could, in theory, lose again to Texas Tech. So I do think Miami at this price, you know, and I imagine the Bear talked about this on his podcast. I think they're actually worth a look there as a long shot to make the college football playoff. Look around. I think, you know, a 5-1 price is out there. All right, here's what's going to happen, Matt. We're going to take a quick break here and wrap things up on our Fast channel. But on the other side, we got a couple more games to dive into. Our best bets. We'll look at some Friday games as well. So we'll do that after a quick break. We still have our best bet recap. And do I dare bet on Chapel Bill and the UNC Tar Heels? All right, quick break. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, bonus time on the podcast and on the YouTube channel as well. A couple other games, man, I just wanted to run through real quickly. UVA, it's good to see them lose, finally, deservingly so. This is an enormous game for the ACC championship. It looks like Chandler Morris is going to play. Second reference of our guy, Chris Massaro. I know a couple people that have some Duke tickets out there. This number's down to 4, Matt. Virginia, they actually got Virginia'd last week by Wake Forest. They had a postgame win expectancy of 80%, but they turned the ball over 3 times. Their quarterback got injured. They gave up a punt return for a score. What do you think of this spot here? Darian Mensah, I know they lost last week in a spot that you and I had UConn, but man, this offense is pretty darn impressive there for the Blue Devils. Duke at home against Virginia. This number came down to 4 on Thursday because the expectation is that Chandler Morris will play for UVA.
Nothing here for me in this game. Tim, we were waiting for Virginia to get exposed and get knocked out, and we finally got what we wanted. A lot of people wanted that, right?
Oh, I wanted it. I wanted it bad. I needed them to be out of the discussion. Finally, they were. I don't have a bet on this game, but I do have a bet on the next game, Matt, because I love to bet games on the CW. I know that's your favorite channel to watch football games on. North Carolina at Wake Forest. And look, North Carolina playing better football. It wasn't pretty last week against Stanford. They didn't get the cover. But you look at their last 4 games, Matt, they've been playing much better. Should have beat Cal, lost in overtime to Virginia, dominated Syracuse. This UNC team is actually playing decent football. And one thing I'd like to look at, Matt, in Brett Ciancia's Pick 6 Plus edition that he puts out every week is the last 4 games. How does he grade these teams out, Matt? And UNC, per his game grader metric, is actually 8 spots better than Wake Forest in these last 4 games. So I think this number's too high. And also, does Wake Forest really have a home field advantage in Winston-Salem when that state is going to be littered with Carolina Blue? So I know Bill Belichick was asked about it this week, if he's going to be interested in the Giants job. I'll tell you this, I don't think the Giants are going to be interested in Chapel Bill with everything that's gone on. UNC still has a chance for a bowl game. I'm going to take the points. I think this is an ugly, ugly game between North Carolina and Wake Forest. You got a total of 39 in this one, Matt. Wake Forest, by the way, last week outgained 327 to 203 in that contest over Virginia. I'll take Chapel Bill plus the 6.5. There are a couple 6.5s out there to cover the number here.
Yeah, I played the Tar Heels a couple times recently. I could see, you know, starting with that game against Cal and Berkeley, that this team was showing a bit of improvement. Nothing for me in this game, even though I lean North Carolina. I will say that I wouldn't count out Belichick for the Giants job because he's very close with the Mara family. And look, if he dumped his little girlfriend and got serious about being a football coach again. Serious. He's got to get serious about being a football coach again instead of a sideshow and a cartoon character. Then I think he would actually be a decent hire for the Giants. But if he's going to carry on and act like a fool the way he has since he's taken the North Carolina job, no, I would not hire him as Giants coach. I think it's going to be an interesting thing that pops up here because the Giants have bounced from coach to coach. They made a bunch of poor coaching hires. And, you know, Belichick's got a history with the Giants, and I could actually see that happening. But like I said, he's been too much of a cartoon character to really take him seriously as an NFL head coach unless something changes.
You know, Matt, I wanted to mention this next game just because of the massive move we've seen in the market. So I always like to tweet out the look ahead numbers and then compare them how much they move. Florida was a 7.5-point dog in the look ahead market against Ole Miss. And that number is now 14 or 14.5. It was as high as 15.5. So a couple things. It looks like Florida is completely checked out on the season. Embarrassed last week against Kentucky. That was one of my favorite plays. I was surprised to see the number actually go up a little bit on Florida right before kickoff, and Kentucky just obliterated them. DJ Lagway got benched in the game, Matt. He is expected to start this one. It feels like Florida's a mess. And then you've got Ole Miss. And you got to remember, they lost to Florida last year in the final, the second to last week of the season, and that essentially eliminated Ole Miss from the playoff. You know, one person joked, is Lane Kiffin going to want to embarrass his soon-to-be employer? Well, we'll see how that ultimately plays out. But this is a 7-point move from the look-ahead line, and I understand why. I think Ole Miss could be out for blood in this spot.
Yeah, you and I talked about this on VSIN Primetime a couple nights ago. If you're going to make the case for Florida, I'll sit back and listen to you. I want to hear what your points of emphasis are for betting on the Gators, aside from, hey, they're getting a bunch of points. I don't see it.
Right.
The Gators got blown out by Kentucky, and it looked like they quit. And I do think Lane Kiffin, as a little bit like Marcus Freeman, wants to win big. He wants to win some of these games by a margin down the stretch here. For this would be Ole Miss or pass. I'm going to pass at the current number.
All right, man. We got two Friday games that I think are pretty interesting. We'll hit on these real quickly. I've got one more game on Saturday that I have a bet on before we get our best bet recap. How about the market movement on this game? You have been all over Louisville as a big favorite. And Jeff Brohm last weekend, what an embarrassment. I mean, to lose to Cal, 18.5-point favorite. You drop down to number 20 in the rankings despite your road win at Miami. Louisville still has an outside shot to make it to the ACC championship game, but you were on Clemson last week, and they played really well against Florida State. This number has dropped from, I want to say, as high as 6 down to 2.5 in the market right now. Just double-checking where we've moved in this one. Actually, it was never as high as 6, so I apologize. 3.5, but it's gone through the key of 3. Were you impressed by what you saw from Clemson last week, and has Clemson maybe figured some things out? As Cade Klubnik actually is playing some decent football right now.
I said that on the podcast last week. That's why I like Clemson. Cade Klubnik was off one of his best games. I thought he was starting to figure out things in the passing attack. And Klubnik, in the past two games, threw for, actually, 385 against Duke and 221 last week against Florida State. I really couldn't understand why there was money in the market for Florida State last week. That's another team doesn't have many appealing qualities at this point, really not playing hard for the coach. So that 24-10 win for Clemson a week ago, I thought was a positive. But here I like Louisville a little bit. And this number dropping to 2.5, again, talk about a good team, a good coach, often embarrassing loss. You know, you and I talked with Brad Powers about this a couple nights ago. How in the hell did Louisville lose that game to Cal? That's embarrassing. So I think you're going to see Brohm and the Cards bounce back here this week. And now at 2.5, I am interested in playing Louisville.
Jacob DeJesus, the former UNLV wide receiver, was unstoppable on Saturday night. That was a hell of a game and quite the win for Justin Wilcox. They were kind of.
I thought about this a couple times watching DeJesus this season. How did Barry Odom not take him to Purdue with him? That's a guy who could have made a difference for Barry Odom this year. How did he get away and get to Cal?
He's a fun player to watch, man. Yeah. And Cal, while they'll be in a bowl game, we'll see if they're able to keep, you know, JKS, their quarterback, and DeJesus moving forward. Louisville, by the way, pathway to the ACC championship, winning out Clemson, and then they have SMU next week. And then if Pitt were to pull an upset over Georgia Tech next weekend and Miami beats Pitt, Louisville would make it to the ACC championship game. So there is a pathway for Louisville, which is, I think, 15-1 to win the ACC if they take care of business and certainly need some help as well. Matt, I wanted to mention this game because we mentioned it as a sandwich spot. I don't know if I could get there, but Oregon's laying a big number coming off of that war that they won against Iowa. Next week, huge game against their old Pac-12 rival in USC. And now you got to play Minnesota as a 25.5 point favorite. I don't know the status of Darius Taylor, who is such an important piece to the Minnesota offense, which is, let's just be honest, not a very good offense. But this is a really weird spot. We'll see. They were out a couple of key players offensively, Matt. Oregon was DeCordian Moore, and then their tight end as well, Matt. Minnesota's coming off a bye. Do you dare look to take this big number with the Gophers on Friday night?
No, I'm going to pass on this game. You and I didn't talk about this before. I really don't have much interest in playing this one.
Yeah, so it's a spot that is intriguing, but ultimately nothing for me. All right, before we get to our best bet recap, one more game for me on my card, Matt. I'm going to take East Carolina on the money line against Memphis. You know, Memphis last week, they were in the driver's seat, Matt, to make the college football playoff. And then ultimately, they laid an egg. They lost to Tulane as a favorite on Friday night. And that changes a lot of thought process there. Ryan Silverfield, their coach, is being mentioned for a lot of different jobs. And the question, too, at the quarterback position, Brendan Lewis's status, he's been dealing with an ankle injury. You know, East Carolina quietly has been playing some really good football. And you look at their last home game, Matt, they played Temple, who's not a great team, but I'd call him capable. They put up 600 yards of offense against Temple. This ECU offense is pretty legit. 14th in the country in yards per game. They're 5-3-1 against the spread this year. Hauser, their quarterback, thrown 14 touchdowns, rushed for 6. I'm just curious where Memphis's mind's at. Last home game of the season for ECU as well. Actually, Wes kind of tipped me off on this one earlier in the week. So give me ECU on the money line, -140 out there at Circa. So that'll be my final play, Matt. So let's wrap it up like we always do here on the podcast with our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, go fire away on your plays for week number 12.
You know, I was really confident last week. It was a home dog week for me in college football. I love to be on the home dogs, and I love some situations last week. It paid off, went 6-2. Not as confident in this card. I'm not going to have nearly as many plays, but hopefully it's a winning week here. Michigan State, +7.5, home dog. Northwestern, Purple Cats, home dogs, +13. How about Iowa, 7-point dog at USC. Georgia, When I sent this in, 5.5, we're going to have to go with 6 right now. I think the 5.5 has disappeared. So short home favorite here, Georgia minus 6. Another short home favorite, San Diego State laying 3, even though I think money line might be the way I play this one. The play I like a little bit better here is Boise, San Diego State under the total of 41.5. So that's 6 plays for this week.
All right, Matt, I, like you, felt good. And finally, it feels good to have a good week. You went 6-2. I went 6-0, 36-33-3 now on the season. So still trying to get out of mediocrity land, but a good week nonetheless last week. We're kind of going head to head a little bit. I don't love the weather in L.A. That makes me a bit concerned about this. But USC has been a different team at home. I'm not going to lay the chalk. I am going to put them in a money line parlay with Washington State. That was minus 120 with USC and Washington State. You and I have a common play on Michigan State, plus the 7.5. I mentioned it on the podcast. My name is Tim Murray, and I have an Arkansas problem. I will take the 6 with Woo Pig Suey. I will ride with you on the under in Boise State, San Diego State, under 41.5. Air Force, I think there's still some 7s out there. Last night when we sent in the plays, there was a 7.5 out there. I guess we'll grade it officially at 7 because there is a book out there that still has a 7. I played 7.5. I'll take the points with Chapel Bill plus the 6.5 UNC at Wake Forest. And then final play for me, Matt, East Carolina on the money line minus 140. So 7 plays in total for me coming off a 6-0 week. Hopefully we can carry that momentum into a strong week number 12. Matt, you're headed to Snapdragon Stadium, so get us a couple of winners out there when you watch the Aztecs and the Broncos lace it up late night on Saturday.
I'll do my best to bring back a win again this week, Tim. Best of luck to you as well.
All right, there he is, Matt Eumanns. Thanks to Wyatt. Thanks to Ryan, our two producers. I'm Tim Murray. Just a reminder, continue to rate, review, and subscribe to the VSiN College Football Podcast. 3 episodes every week. And check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. Week 12, let's have ourselves some winners right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.